Hey everyone, Matt from Man of the Match podcast here. And it seems like recently the U.S. has been in like the spotlight of all soccer news. So that's what we're going to be talking about as our main topic for today. But first, let's go over a little bit of soccer news and definitely transfer talk. So first of all, I just want to apologize. This episode was supposed to be out almost a little over a week before it actually is going to go out. I've been like busy with a lot of stuff, so I'm really sorry for that. But a lot more content will be coming out since the season from a lot of major leagues is starting already, so that's going to be very big. But let's get to some news. England beat Spain on penalties to win the U21 Euro, which is a huge accomplishment for them. Hopefully that this success at the youth level can translate to the senior team level and they could win it in a couple of years' time. Erling Haaland will grace the cover of the EA Sports FC 24 Standard Edition, while the Ultimate Edition cover will feature 31 current stars, future stars, and legends. That cover is actually computer-generated because, unfortunately, some of the legends have passed away, so they can't actually get them all together and take a picture. But overall, I think the game's going to be pretty good. Let me know if any of you guys do get early access. DM me on Instagram. But it seems like they've changed a lot, EA, especially since now they no longer have the FIFA licensing. So now they have ceremonies such as the Ballon d'Or, which is pretty cool. That's it for small news, but let's get to big news in transfer talk. The biggest story of the transfer window right now is the fact that PSG has officially put Mbappe for sale. They really want him gone because they want to make a profit off of him before the year, I believe, 2025 or next year, 2024, when he becomes a free agent, when they can no longer sell him for money. So they're really trying to sell him. They agreed terms with Al Hilal, but that deal fell apart because he did not want to go there. But now there's news that it's beginning to come out of Paris that is saying that he wants to stay at PSG this year no matter what. Teams that do want him are, I believe, Manchester United and Real Madrid. Those are the two front runners for him, but we'll see what happens with that. Now let's talk about some moves that have actually happened. And the first one happened in the Serie A. Christian Pulisic, the American, has gone to AC Milan. For Pulisic, it's a 10 out of 10 move. He was not getting the playing time he deserved at Chelsea, and he wanted a big move to a club that would certainly satisfy his needs. Honestly, from all the social media posts I've seen of Pulisic at not Chelsea, that's where he used to be, at AC Milan, he looks a lot happier than he did at Chelsea, which is very, very good. So that's, hopefully he'll play better. For Milan, it's an 8 out of 10 move. Pulisic's a great young player who, if developed, he's about to hit the prime of his career. If he's developed, he can be dangerous. Everybody remembers lockdown Pulisic. Overall, a very good move for both sides. Next move I want to talk about is Jurrien Timber to Arsenal. For Timber, it's a 10 out of 10 move. It's a big move for him, obviously, to a big club where he's definitely needed, obviously coming from Ajax, who, yes, they're giants in the Netherlands, but overall in European competitions, they haven't done so good since the year 2019 when they made it to the semifinals. So that move to Arsenal was definitely needed. He seems pretty happy where he's at. So overall, not much of a morale decline. Just pretty much the same. So he'll probably play the same. Arsenal, it's an 8 out of 10 move. Timber's a great wing back. They definitely needed him. They only have really, I believe, Ben White and I think Rob Holding. No, it's Zinchenko at the Tomiyasu at the wing back positions. Timber's class, he will definitely help the attack when they need to, and he'll also obviously help them defend because that's his job. But overall, it's a good signing for the club. It's a good signing for the player. Now for a huge transfer, and it also involves Arsenal. Declan Rice has gone to an Arsenal for a record transfer fee of $122 million. The reason it's a record is because it's the highest transfer fee to ever paid for an English player. He's transferred from West Ham, where he won the Europa Conference League. For Rice, it's a 10 out of 10 move. He's an incredible player who's going to fit in perfectly. with a lot of his English teammates at Arsenal, and the fans honestly seem to love him, so he seems very happy. For Arsenal, it's a 10 out of 10 move. They needed a defending midfielder. I mean, they used to have Thomas Partey. I'm not sure if they still do, but Declan Rice is world-class, and for him to move to a club that finished, I believe, 14th in last year's table, to a team that finished second, that just barely lost the title race to Manchester City, it's a huge move for him, huge move for the club. Obviously, him paying that much, I don't think they should have, but nevertheless, they got him. Man City didn't, which was the big thing that they didn't want to happen. They didn't want Man City to get Declan Rice. So overall, good move. Jordi Alba has moved to Inter Miami on a free transfer. For Alba, it's an 8 out of 10 move. It's a great way to draw his career to a close, it seems like. He's going to be surrounded by some of his closest Barca teammates from their incredible teams in the early 2010s and late 2000s. For Miami, it's a 7 out of 10 move. Alba, yeah, he's aging, but he's definitely still in shape. He was training weeks before the transfer happened, and he's still good. He's going to fit in perfectly, obviously, with all his old teammates, and he can help the team win the Open Cup. They're still in the League's Cup. They're in the quarterfinals. He could help them win that, and he could potentially help them make the MLS playoffs. Our next move is a big move for Manchester United. Andre Onana has moved to Manchester United from Inter Milan. For Onana, it's a 10 out of 10 move. He leaves Inter after a good amount of time. It doesn't really seem to bother him, though, and he seems happy in Manchester. For you, the bigger side of this deal is for United. For United, it's a 10 out of 10 move. They really, really needed a goalkeeper because they let De Gea go as a free agent. He still hasn't signed with the club, actually, which is pretty surprising, considering he's one of the best goalkeepers in the world. And they replaced De Gea with one of the best goalkeepers in the world, Andre Onana. Listen, this guy guided Inter to the Champions League final, and he only conceded one against a treble-winning side, and that goal was fantastic. So, I mean, you can't really blame him. He's a very, very good goalkeeper. Overall, good deal. Now, one of our last deals, this is a Saudi Arabian transfer, so obviously I don't have much to say about it. Sadio Mane to Al Nassr. For Mane, it's 2 out of 10. As a Liverpool fan, it's hard to see his career fall apart after he left. He's had behavioral issues at Bayern, and he's just overall not been playing well. But obviously, he's going to be paid a lot more than he was at Bayern because he's going to Saudi Arabia. But it's just kind of sad to see his career declining. For Al Nassr, it's a 9 out of 10 move. It's a great addition to their attack, but he just needs to get back in form. And that's pretty much all I have to say about this transfer. Now, two very recent big transfers that have happened. Josko Gvardiol has moved to Man City from RB Leipzig. It's a huge move for him, hence why it's a 10 out of 10. He's deserving of this move. He's one of the best center backs in the world, and he's going to fit in well with, obviously, the best teammates anybody could ever ask for in terms of skill. He's also world-class. He's one of the most expensive defenders now and ever paid for. For Man City, it's a 10 out of 10 move. They've got one of the most sought-after defenders in the transfer window. And as I said, this guy, Gvardiol, is just fantastic. And it really showed in his performances in the World Cup with Croatia. Now another move that I wanted to talk about, our last one, Rasmus Højlund has moved to Manchester United. For Højlund, it's a 10 out of 10 move, a great move for a player from a pretty small club nowadays, Atalanta. They used to be a bigger club, but they've gotten pretty small. For Man United, it's a 7 out of 10 move. Honestly, I don't know much about this guy, but they did need a striker, and yeah, that all they needed was a striker. This guy, I think, might fill that gap, but still, I don't really know much about him. It's a huge gamble paying 83 million euro for some guy that I and most United fans haven't even heard of until the week that the rumors came out. Now that we're done with transfer talk, let's talk about how the U.S. has been in the soccer spotlight for the past few weeks. First, a lot of preseason tours have happened in the U.S. for many teams. Arsenal, Man United, Chelsea, Real Madrid, AC Milan, Juventus, Barcelona, Newcastle, Wrexham, and a lot of other great European teams have gone on the preseason tours in the United States. And now I want to talk about two experiences that I had at these preseason games. The first one I want to talk about is the Premier League Summer Series game that I went to in Harrison, New Jersey, Red Bull Arena. I went to the game Brighton and Hove Albion versus Newcastle United FC. Overall, great fan atmosphere, a lot of Newcastle supporters. Their supporter section was filled. I did not get the chance to see the Brighton supporter section. I'm not sure if there even was one. Well, there was one designated, but I'm not sure that many Brighton fans were there. I thought it seemed more like there was a lot of more general fans there. I was a general fan going because obviously I'm a Liverpool fan. I don't support either team. But during that game, I was trending towards supporting Brighton because two former Liverpoolians currently play for them, such as James Milner and Adam Lallana. Also, I really like Estupiñan and Caicedo from Ecuador, so that gave me more reasons to root for Brighton. But overall, great fan atmosphere, great game. 2-1, Newcastle won. They won off a stoppage time winner scored by, I believe his name was Will Anderson. He's a younger player who gets sometimes involved in Newcastle's starting 11. His goal was fairly simple. It was a long ball played to him. He took a touch near the box. I believe he shot it with his left foot, and the keeper unfortunately couldn't get to it. But the stadium roared when he scored that. Obviously, as I said, there was a lot of Newcastle supporters. They were chanting the whole time while we were walking into the stadium. Overall, a very good game. I'm glad I got to see it. The next preseason experience I want to talk about is the MLS All-Star Game that I went to. I also went to the Skills Challenge, and I'll talk a little bit about that as well. The MLS All-Stars obviously played Arsenal in both competitions. The venue of the games was in Audi Field in Washington, D.C. The atmosphere, both of the events, was filled with Arsenal fans. There was, like, so many. It was basically like an Arsenal home game. It was like, if the American Emirates existed, that would be it, because there was just so many Arsenal fans. They were very passionate. They were actually, like, chanting the chants you hear in the Emirates. It was actually very, very cool to see. A lot of Americans interested in European soccer. Arsenal crushed the MLS in both events. They beat them 4-1 in the Skills Challenge, and that included very important crossbar challenge. MLS Next Pro Goalie Wars also happened at the MLS All-Stars Skills Challenge, which was very cool to see because they haven't done Goalie Wars in the MLS All-Star Skills Challenge in a while, so that was very cool. But now, the MLS All-Star Game, that was basically 90 minutes of watching Arsenal completely dominate the MLS All-Stars offensively, defensively, possession-wise, in every aspect you can believe. It was still very fun, though, even though Arsenal won 5-0. The goals scored by Arsenal were very entertaining. Gabriel Jesus' goal was fantastic. Jorginho's pen was well done. Havertz's volley, even though he couldn't score in the Skills Challenge, was very good. Martinelli's goal was also very good. And just the whole team was fantastic. I also got to see the debuts of Declan Rice and Jurrien Timber. They made their professional debuts for Arsenal, which was very, very cool to see. I mainly talked about Rice so highly in the transfer talk because of how I saw him play that day. He fit in very well. He was distributing the ball very well for his first game with the senior team after he had, like, only signed about a week ago. So that was very, very cool to see overall. I keep saying it was very, very cool because it was. It was a great experience. But yeah, that was my experience at the MLS All-Star Game. Bottom line, the MLS need some help. They need some help. And now, getting to the point of America being in the spotlight, they did get some help because, as you know, since our last episode, Lionel Messi, Sergio Busquets, and Jordi Alba all officially signed for Inter Miami, CF. Lionel Messi and Busquets made their debuts against Cruz Azul in the Leagues Cup, which is a newer tournament between Liga MX clubs and MLS clubs. All I can say about their performances is just like, wow, Inter Miami looks like so different when they step on the field. It looks like, because I've watched some Inter Miami games, obviously, since I'm American, I just watched some American soccer games. I just watched Inter Miami games before they came because I wanted to see the difference, and oh my god, you could tell in the game when they got subbed on how much of a difference there was between the two different Miami teams with and without Messi and Busquets. Obviously, in that game against Cruz Azul, Messi's free kick to end the game in stoppage time, that was just beautiful. It was like a Hollywood script. That was one of the biggest, that was one of the greatest Lionel Messi moments I've ever seen, besides what is it, his Clasico goal against Real Madrid, and I believe it was 2016, where he held up his shirt against the crowd. And in their next game, they played, I believe it was Atlanta United. They just dominated them. Messi scored two goals and had an incredible assist. Busquets also played well. And then in their round of 32 game against Orlando City, they took care of business there. I believe that was Jordi Alba's debut. And in the round of 16, they won on penalties against FC Dallas. They actually barely survived that game because in stoppage time, again, Lionel Messi scored a free kick to take the game to penalties, which was, again, incredible to see. Speaking of how the team has gotten so much different, the players themselves look so much like so much more energized to play. Robert Taylor has gone off since Messi has been playing with him. They've just connected so well. He's connected well with Alba. He's connected well with Busquets. Benjamin Kramaski, he's played so well. The team looks so much better. And their next game is tomorrow against, I believe Charlotte won that game, so it's going to be Inter Miami versus Charlotte in the Leagues Cup quarterfinals. Let me know if you do want more Leagues Cup content. I'll talk about it next week if I'm able to make an episode, which I probably will, because I want to make predictions next week for Europe's top five leagues. But overall, yeah, help is on the way for the MLS, which is very, very good news for American soccer. Because what I hope that this can do is this can show MLS teams that you need world-class quality to actually compete. Because unfortunately, obviously, there's no incentive to get better for MLS teams at this moment. Well, now there is with Messi, but obviously, because there's not a promotion relegation system here in America, unfortunately. I hope there is. I hope one day there will be. The USL, which is minor league soccer, they're actually considering developing a pro-reg system with USL 1, USL 2, USL Championship. I believe that's how it works in the USL. But that would actually be very good. And I just hope that this inspires MLS teams to do better, mainly the ownership of those teams. Now that we're done talking about the MLS, which that rant went on for a while, let's talk about how America has been involved in some major international competitions that have happened recently. First one, the Women's World Cup. It had begun, it's about a month ago now. It's in the quarterfinal stages now. And once again, the U.S. were the favorites to win the whole tournament. And they were looking to do a three-peat, which was never done before by any team in the history of the Women's World Cup. They won against Vietnam and tied against the Netherlands and Portugal in the group stage. They actually barely made it out alive against Portugal. But they did advance to the round of 16, and they were upset by Sweden, losing on penalty kicks. That, by the way, I can kick better penalties than them. No offense, obviously. I'm just joking. But, yeah, it was unfortunate to see them go out that early. But they were acting a little cocky. They were kind of self-confident a little too much. It was just kind of a mess this whole tournament. That's the lowest they've ever placed in a World Cup, round of 16. A lot of other highly ranked FIFA women's teams have been upset in the Women's World Cup this year. Highly ranked Germany was knocked out. Highly ranked Canada was knocked out. And it's honestly been a very good Women's World Cup tournament of a lot with a lot of upsets. Now I want to talk about another international competition that the U.S. is involved in by hosting and by potentially playing in, which is the Copa America, which 2024, which their branding has been released, basically like all the graphics you'll see in the logo. The U.S. is going to obviously host that tournament, and it's going to definitely be one of the U.S. men's team's biggest challenges before the 2026 FIFA World Cup that they host, Canada hosts, and Mexico hosts. U.S. men's team can qualify for this by placing in the top six of the 23-24 CONCACAF Nations League. And this kind of links to how a lot of big American players have been making big transfers. Pulisic to AC Milan, as I mentioned earlier in the episode. Yunus Musa from Valencia, he's transferred to AC Milan as well. Matt Turner is now going to be starting in the Premier League with Nottingham Forest. Another transfer I forgot to mention, Tyler Adams is about to make a big move to Chelsea from Leeds United. And they're just, this American squad looks very, very ready for the Copa America 2024. And I hope that they can perform very well in this tournament. A little bit more news about the men's team. They did play in the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Also, Mexico did win the CONCACAF Gold Cup. It was kind of their C team. The U.S. men's national team's like C team. It wasn't their best players. It wasn't even their second best players. It was a lot of MLS players, which shows how bad the quality of the league is. And same goes for the Canadian national team. Their B team in the Gold Cup was mainly made up of MLS players who played for MLS clubs. And America's in the spotlight, and the MLS is in the spotlight of the soccer world because of Lionel Messi. But what they need to do is a lot of their teams need to develop players at a younger age to retain them, and they just need to fix the talent issue that's been going on with the MLS. With that being said, that's pretty much it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Follow us on Instagram. Obviously, we're keeping you guys updated on the latest transfers all the time. The transfer deadline day is coming up, so don't forget about that. We'll be very active during that day. Follow us on Spotify. You can actually do that. I just discovered, so definitely go do that. Thanks for listening, and ciao.